I don't know if in my aging process, I do not know if it is a development of my capacity or if it is on the part of God making me aware more so than ever before about my need and about the need of a lost and dying world. I'm not sure which it is. But I want you to take your Bible and I want you to look at 2 Peter this evening. And we'll read from the very first a few words. Then we'll, throughout the message, refer to some other verses in that chapter 1 of 2 Peter. And I read from the very first word. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now notice this. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now notice these words. Watch closely these words. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things. But notice what he says about the all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving, now notice this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and in a moment we will proceed through the next few verses. But let me just say, this word diligence, all diligence, the idea behind this is that you don't close your eyes since you've been saved, and don't become limp or indolent or resting in a comfort zone somewhere as a person before God, having received the Savior and him having taken you in. You and I are to live and move and have our being with haste, diligence, with haste and carefulness and a business-like disposition in our approach to this matter of serving God, and a fiery life and a keen sagacity. This life is to be a spiritual life as well as physical, and so a plan with praise, a plan to do what God wants me to do as I read his word on a daily basis, on a nightly basis, and I have a plan and I want to live for him. And within my plan is a matter of praise from my heart as I walk here and go there and drive here and fly there. It's a matter of praise, 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 seven times over. That's the picture here. And so, I must, with an alertness, have an intention, a promptness. I need to move at the right time, by the way, on time. Did you get that? At the right time, on time, not at the right time, late. And therefore, now, the scripture is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation on the part of seeing someone saved and on the part of going to reach the one that needs to be saved. And so I want to be sure then I do the right thing at the right time on time. That's the picture, diligence. You have the word add. It means to supply generously. God has given all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has not given all things that we might be wastrel or that we might be guilty of doing the wrong things or our own things. No. He's given these things. He's given these things that we might be used of Him as we live our lives for whatever time He gives us. That's the picture. And so, I'm now to practice these characteristics that in a moment we'll go through. I'm to practice them. And I'm to do so diligently. And here's the picture. As I practice one, another develops. Now it's there already because God gave it. But as I practice one, obedience, then another develops. And another develops. And with each of them, as they are a part of my life, and my intention is to be sure that the package that God has delivered into my soul, into my heart, because of salvation, that all of these things in the package can be practiced on my part as God uses me on a daily basis. And if ever there were a time that these things need to be demonstrated in the life of a child of God, it sure enough is today. When you walk through the Bible here and you see these various words and the meanings of them. Oh, whoa! You talk about awakening when it comes to your soul. And so, as we live and we develop these graces to each other, It's somewhat like the branch that relates to the trunk of the tree. These qualities grow out of a life, out of a vital relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I personally, I must make every effort to bring these things in me also alongside, so that they become those things that I'm most impressed with because they have been given by my God. And whatever my God gives, He expects me to handle carefully what He gives and to use them wisely, what He gives. And He has a purpose in mind. And so I need to make every effort to pay close attention and be aware of them. You see, the Father and the child must work together. And you know what that does? It fashions the child. And everyone in this room must go through until the day of going to glory comes. We must go through a time of fashioning. He fashions us. He works on us. His purpose is to use us and to bless us. And then His purpose is so that we bring glory to His name. So that's where it is. Now, understand something. True virtue mentioned here in the passage, true virtue is the development of these qualities. Let me say it again. True virtue is the development of all of these qualities. That makes us more like Jesus. Did you hear me? That makes us more like Jesus. Oh, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. Oh, I want to be like Jesus in my heart, in my heart, in my heart. Oh, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. That ought to be the song that rings in my soul all day. All day. You see, faith helps us develop virtue. And virtue helps us develop knowledge. And knowledge means full knowledge, or a knowledge that is growing, a practical knowledge, a discernment. And it refers to handling life successfully instead of always in a failure mode. I fail. You fail. You confess your sin. You'll get right with God. But some people fail because they're living in the failure mode. They're not doing anything to keep from failing. And right here is the answer. It is obedience to these qualities and living for the glory of God. And so I want to handle my life successfully. And this knowledge comes from obedience to the will of God. John 7:17. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you listening? Let me ask you a question. Is there a burning? Is there a fiery having been ignited by the Spirit of God to see revival? Did you know that you have to become aware of your need? Some people think they have no need. Some people are like the Laodiceans. I mean, they're saved, but they're not aware of the fact that they have a great need. Listen, without revival, I have the greatest need that could possibly be so in the life of Crabtree. Did you hear me? Without becoming aware and without that need to see revival, then what do I have? And when it becomes such a burning and a burden, and it grabs hold of you and holds you, and won't let you go, and you recognize that the Spirit of God is at work making you aware, and suddenly you are caught up in such a way that the next quality that is mentioned here, which is temperance, which is self-control, and he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city, Proverbs 16:32, and like an athlete has to exercise and discipline to win the prize, 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, Philippians 3:12-16, and 1 Timothy 4:7-8. If ever there was a time when the children of God need this matter of temperance and self-control, it is today. I have no right to treat somebody unkindly. Hear me. I have no right to do that. I do have a right to obey Him. So therefore my whole being, endeavoring to walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you hear me, you'll have self-control. He is the one. And He lives in me. And He lives in you. And He doesn't play favorites with me over being favorite with you. Did you hear that? You are valuable in the sight of your Redeemer. I am valuable in the sight of my Redeemer. Muldoon is valuable in the sight of his Redeemer. Brother Steve and his wife this morning, they are valuable in the sight of their Redeemer. Brother Josh, you're valuable in the sight of your Redeemer. And it behooves me that I'm so very careful that I live in such a way that I am self-controlled, with a self being bowing to the Savior every moment. Huh? And so I approach the matter of patience. Now, do you understand here that these characteristics, these graces, these things that have been given to you by God, do you understand that in your practice of them, they are a safeguard? You practice these, and you won't be immoral. Huh? Oh! You practice these, and you won't drink alcohol. You practice these and you won't laugh at a dirty story. And you practice these and you'll be thoroughly honest. You see, honesty is not the best policy. Honesty is the only policy. And if you are controlled by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and these things are being practiced. Let me tell you what. You will certainly be distinguished. Oh, yeah. And you won't have to apologize to someone because you lied to somebody. Huh? Oh, yeah. If you practice these things, if I practice these things. So, I'm to be patient. And I have a description of that in James 1, chapter 1, and verses 2 through 8. And gives me the right approach. Listen, I have to expect trials to come into my life, because without trials, you never learn patience. Therefore, I must by faith let the trials in my life work for me, instead of me trying to figure them out and my Father's in charge and control. I want Him to take charge all the time. And therefore, I want those trials to work for me, so that in the fashioning, in the shaping, in the developing, I become a better servant for the glory of God every day. Every day! And so I want to recognize that there is a seasoning going on in my life. There's a seasoning going on in my grandson. There's a seasoning going on in my daughter. There's a seasoning going on in my wife, in me. There's a seasoning. There's a process. Time is being used up in that seasoning. And then in so doing, paying attention, obedient, then I come to this matter of godliness, godlikeness. This word, it means to worship well. That's what it means. Godlikeness. Worship well. This is the quality of character that makes a person distinctive. I mean, he lives above the petty things of life and the passions and the pressures that control and the lives of other people are so tossed to and fro in turmoil. But because you and I are practicing these things and we are endeavoring by God's grace and obedience to be God-like, to worship well, then I must remember always that I need to seek to do the will of God for the welfare and exaltation of God and the welfare of other people. And this person, myself, you, this kind of a person, we do what's right because it's right and because it is the will of God. I do what's right because it's right and it's the will of God. And it's always the will of God to do right. And then, this matter of brotherly kindness. You know what the word is? Philadelphia. What a misnomer. The city of brotherly love. That's this. See, if we love the Lord, We love others. And you and I, we must practice this sincere love for the brethren. See, one of the evidences of being saved is that we love the body of Christ and we don't neglect it. Hello. Right. And there is the matter of within this whole picture, there is the matter of sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. And the kind of love spoken here, you'll find it in 2 Peter, that first chapter we've been reading. Would you look at the 7th verse? And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Charity. See, with agape, you love in spite of. Did you get that? You love in spite of. Not because of. In spite of. And whatever a person is, particularly I'm talking now about the brethren, the saved. I mean, some of you, you're more moody than not as the days go by. Who is it? I don't know. But if you're moody, you're dead wrong. If I'm moody, I'm dead wrong. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Oh. Huh? Huh? If I'm miffed at my wife, and I carry that miff through the day, I am most miserable, and so is she. Huh? Oh. Therefore, what is the answer? Oh, love. Sacrificial love. That's the answer. How come you don't say amen? Yeah, amen. So I want you to see something now. This matter of spiritual growth, it brings practical results. Now, watch closely and read with me from verse 8. Notice now, for if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. So an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if you look at verse 8 that we read, you'll find the meaning there is fruitfulness. If you look at verse 9 that we read, you'll find the emphasis is vision. If you look at verse 10 and 11, which we read, you'll find security. And then we come to verse 12. Please now notice from verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let's remember from verse 12 through 15. Let's remember that men die, but the Word lives and experiences fade, but the Word remains. And the world darkens, but the Word shines, and it is the Spirit-given Word, according verse 20 and 21. So, when you fail, here is the reminder, right here, and you are to remember these things. Pastor has said he has memorized certain portions of the Word of God. Bulks, great bulks of it. But if you don't review, it begins to fade. It does. But if you review, you remember. And when you're reminded to remember, if you're obedient and you remember, then you don't forget what to practice. Huh? Huh? I want to be what I ought to be. I do. It seems like, Pastor, that man, I can just like tonight. I told Pastor about it. Left the house. My wife comes out. I'm in the truck. She comes in, sits down. I picked up my Bible from the table where I'd been reading this afternoon, brushing up on tonight. And I picked up her Bible and I picked up this Bible, my Bible. Put my Bible and her Bible together. And then picked up that most necessary device, cell phone. And I go out to the truck. Left in time so that I could get here for the men's prayer. Got here and opened the truck door and stepped out and looked at my wife and said, uh-oh. She said, what? I mean, she's used to my uh-ohs. I said, I forgot my notes. One time I forgot my notes and she went clear home. I'm catching a flight, a plane, and she went clear home and came back with those notes. And listen, in those days, she could really run. And she ran the whole tarmac down to where the position was for me to board the plane. And it's amazing. They held the plane. And I got my notes so that when I was going back to Marquette Manor in Chicago, I had my notes so I would know what to say. Then I forgot my notes and I came inside here and I thought, oh, yeah. The service had started. And Josh said, what? He looked at me. He could tell my face was full of consternation. I said, I forgot my notes. And he looked at me. I think he was fearful that I was going to say to him, why don't you preach? But he said, well, shall I go get them? And I said, I can't preach without them. So he took off in his white Ranger. And I won't ask him how fast he drove. But we live in Lakewood, and he went to Lakewood, and he got my that I had laid down and didn't pick up with my Bible. And he raced back. And you saw him come up here and put the Bible here and put the notes here. You know what? That was really serious to me. I said something to Pastor. He is so kind. I'm not kidding. He's so kind. He said, I've done the same thing. Well, that didn't help me to preach. But I mean, anyway, we all make our mistakes. We are not perfect, but God is working on us and He is fashioning us and He's developing us. And so now I have no choice, no matter how ugly a face you might make at me. I have no freedom to treat you unkindly. Huh? No. I don't. And if I do something that's harmful and it affects you, then I am immediately required by God to come and admit it, confess it, so that I can be done with it and I'm forgiven. And you see that I mean to live right. And you better do the same. Because this is the body of Christ. And the Savior shed His blood for it. So for Jesus' sake, give consideration to these things. Let's pray. Our Father, we want to thank You for tonight. I'm such a weak vessel. But the longing of my heart, I don't want to be tainted. And for this crowd tonight that I can't get out of loving them. It's an assignment from You. Every one of them, it is my responsibility to express the love of God from my heart to them. That's it. And so, my Savior, thank You for bringing us all together. We are so glad to be together. And we're longing for others to come and join us. And Lord, help the folks that are at home tonight. Minister to them, encourage their hearts. And bring them so that this body in its increase collectively, we will be used in even a greater manner to bring about the necessity when we experience revival to a lost and dying city. Oh God, please help us. May each man in this room love the other man of this body, other men, abundantly. May I find it a continual practice that I love every man in this assembly abundantly. And the families, the children, the blessed little ones, those that are being trained by mom and dad and the Savior to become even a better servant when grown than mom and dad are now. Oh God, help us. Please help us.